Thank you for tuning in and listening to Kumasan, a fantasy fiction story podcast. This style of podcast harkens back to old-fashioned radio dramas, blended with the rich storytelling of an audiobook. Kumasan is an ongoing weekly series, so it's recommended that you begin listening with episode 1 and continue from there. Kumasan depicts fictional violence and features mature language. Listener and parental discretion is advised. Previously on Kumasan, the Calderon clan, led by the Princess Sidra and her father, King Mertan, defended and reclaimed their ravaged valley of Ardasso from the nature-draining creatures, the Al-Kalalad. Following the battle, a giant celebration was held throughout the royal village, and Mertan's younger brother, Varnasso, was assassinated within the king's own bed, clearly a case of mistaken identity. This week, we return to the Goddess Isles in Cirque, where Princess Isidra and King Mertan Calderon investigate Varnasso's assassination and make preparations for his big send-off. Princess Isidra Calderon was leading all 40 of her father's personal bodyguards quickly down the hallway of his palace lodge, while the bodyguards kept the king tightly between them, forming a protective human shield all around him as they progressed.
This is ridiculous, daughter. All these men making this fuss. For what? To protect me? Me? I am the Prairie Lion of Hafea, the King of all Cirque. I need no one's protection. Let me find these insidious cowards and lay waste to them myself. My own brother has been slain in my own bed, and I shall...
Yes, my father. You are all of those things, and so much more to me. And that is why I shall adhere to the security protocol set forth by our forefathers. Should the king or his family fall under attack by their enemies...
The king's guards and his warlord supreme shall keep them in a protective circle until the threat is neutralized. Yes... Yes, I know the protocol well. Very well. Do you hear this, men? My daughter's knowledge of and adherence to the ancient ways of our people gives me much pride.
It speaks volumes of the character and bravery of our Warlord Supreme. And her love for her father.
Yeah, my king. Here. As you know, this is your personal chambers. And where I discovered your brother Varnasso this morning. I must warn you now, my king. Princess. The scene is a gruesome one. Allow me to be the first to say I am saddened for your loss. For all of us, the great Varnasso was loved and revered by all. He will be missed.
Thank you, Malthus. Your kind words carry great weight at this hour and are greatly appreciated. I will enter alone and ensure that the room is clear before my king is allowed to enter. Stand vigilant and seal the door once I am inside of it. In the meantime, I would like only one of you to go and fetch Sabeo for me and bring him here straight away with haste. He must act quickly before my uncle Sol has completely escaped his body.
Isidra stepped into the open door leading into her father's bedchamber and immediately vanished into a misty black cloud, camouflaged by the semi-darkness of the room meant previously only for sleeping.
Forgive my saying it, my king, but your daughter's command of shadow skulkery is not to be readily believed lest one sees it for oneself.
I think we are all in agreement there, Malthus.
Isidra moved cautiously around the room, clinging to the blackness, fully hidden from anyone who might still be there. She thoroughly investigated all possible places where the assassins could be lingering, and concluded now that the room was clear.
It is safe for the king to enter. Please allow my king to do so unescorted, but remain here until he returns.
As you say, my princess.
Mertan and Isidra slowly crept their way towards the king's bed. The iron-rich smell of death already hung heavily in the air around it, and even in the dim lighting, the volumes of blood, easily visible to them both, still freshly pooling upon the floor and staining the king's furs with a thick layer of wet crimson. Varnaso Calderon lay there on his back, the bed furs pulled up to his bare chest, fistfuls of them locked tightly in his clutching fists, his eyes wide open, frozen in a last and final horrified expression. A single gaping hole was evident in the center of that bare chest, but nearly unseeable beneath the thick, syrupy pool of blood that formed around it, evidence of a precise stab directly into the man's heart. His throat was slit with great precision, a single, clean slice that had surely been the final death blow, leaving his last moments on Corellia a struggle to breathe and the self-awareness that his precious life was expiring as mere seconds passed by.
By Hoth and Cora! Oh, brother! My little brother Varnaso! Isidra! I looked after your uncle since we were boys. You'd have thought Varnaso was my own son. Oh, my brother. The times we had. The drinking and laughing, hunting. Many great battles. So many memories.
As you know, I have sent for Sabeo to assist me. We will get to the bottom of this, father.
May the goddess Sekia herself hear me now. The fate that awaits whomever did this to my brother will be so unthinkable. I dare not speak it aloud in front of my own daughter. I can tell you one thing, Isidra. It shall be a fate delivered by my own two hands. of that. Be sure.
As you wish, Father. My king, I would ask that you enjoy your time with Uncle Varnaso for the few remaining moments until Sabeo's arrival. Once he is here, I would ask you to please go with your guards and busy yourself with making preparations for his funeral. There will be ample time to be with him once our business is concluded.
As you wish. I will do as you ask, my daughter.
Let's go, men! We all have tasks ahead. Let us all begin them.
Sabeo quietly slipped through the doorway and into the bedchamber of the king, joining his princess at the bedside of the slain Varnaso.
Let me first offer my condolences on your great loss, princess. I would cry and grieve with you now, but alas, forgive me. Time is at a premium at this moment. And I must capture what I can of it, before any more escapes us.
I am in a full agreement, Sabeo. My great thanks for coming here so quickly. I'm sure all of us have swimming heads this morning after last night's festivities.
That is to be quite sure, my princess.
Sabeo was the grand high shaman to the royal family of Sirk. His wealth of knowledge in the arts of magic, healing, seeing, and communing with spirits was a thing of legend, beyond merely the borders of Sirk alone. He inched forward toward the body and crawled quickly onto the bed on all fours, positioning himself above Varnaso. Then with a single hand, opened the mouth of Varnaso wide. He then reared back onto his hind as he closed his eyes, opened his own mouth, and raised his open palms toward the ceiling. A thick cloud of bright green mist began flowing from the open mouth of Varnaso straight into that of Sabeo. Once the entirety of the mist had escaped the body, Sabeo closed his mouth, and instantly he began to shake violently while his head whipped sharply from side to side. His own eyes turned to the same bright green as the mist as he began to chant in the ancient Karelian tongue. The green mist spilling slightly and returning to his body as he did so.
Kioro Camera Doam Malendons Bayekin Aswenemons Alanda.
To Isidra's astonishment, the bedchamber began to shake and then rotate slightly as the shaman recited his wordy incantations, his eyes still alight in the green of the mist. He leaned forward quickly and proceeded to lick the eyeballs of Varnaso with his tongue, then sat back again, still straddling the dead body. He tilted his head slightly toward the ceiling, his glowing eyes still wide open. To the princess's shock, a lone, hooded figure dressed in the telltale black garb of an assassin entered the room and slowly crept towards them. Isidra quickly began to reach back behind her head to unsheath her twin swords. Sabayeo reached out for her hands, keeping them at bay. She watched as the assassin crept slowly to the darkened bed, and then the unfolding of events that ended her uncle's life.
Do you see? We cannot ascertain his true identity because of the mask he wears over his face. And the cloak pulled tightly over his head. But look there, around his neck. He wears the symbol of House Charnaya, one of the five houses of Malgia, up in Borjakar. It is clearly none other than the feared assassin, Oberon Charnaya, the Kingslayer.
It has been known for quite some time that the Malgia have been plotting to claim Arcantis fields for their own purposes. Controlling Arcantis crops in addition to their own seafood trade would make their wealth and power unimaginable. This makes much sense to me now.
Aye, to me as well. Especially under the control of only a single Malgian house. The other houses would fall quickly by default. This was clearly an attempt on your father. To unseat the king would surely plunge Cirque into a state of chaos. Many tribes would look to fight amongst themselves to seat a new king here on Hafaya with one of their own chieftains.
Brilliant play from a tactical standpoint. Remove the head of the snake?
And the snake no longer poses a threat.
My great shaman, can you see if this Oberon Charnaya still remains on Sirkian land?
Not from here, I am afraid. For that, I would need to go out and manually track him.
I see. Well, let us get that underway at this very moment. I will come with you. There is nothing left for me to do here.
As you command, my princess. Let us go now, before his trail grows too cold.
Both Isidra and Sabayeo left the king's chambers and the bloody body of Vernasso behind and headed out of Mirtan's lodge to investigate the whereabouts of the assassin Oberon Charnaya. the king, his bodyguards, and the sentry, Maltos, had made their way out of the palatial lodge and were en route through the village, arriving at the doorstep of Asen, the king's personal architect. The king broke past the circle of protectors and knocked heavily upon Asen's door.
Oh, my king, Meritan, it is you. Oh, my word, I've heard the terrible news this morning, and may I be the first to offer my condolences. It is a terrible thing. Is it true that Varnaso was killed in your own bed? In your own lodge?
I am afraid so, Asen. My kinsman. I am afraid so. My daughter and the shaman Sabeo are currently attending to the matter, and I am confident will lead us to these cowards.
Oh, to be sure. Well, there isn't two better in all of Sirk to handle that matter. May I ask, my king, why do you arrive at my door this morning?
I would ask that you handle the matters of Varnaso's funeral, if you would. I cannot think straight with all this grief. I want the goddess mother herself to be able to look down each and every day from her great throne in the sky and see where my beautiful brother lies.
My king. You honor me greatly with this task. I am beyond humbled at the opportunity. I can already envision it. Look there, beyond. In the heart of the village. Picture it. A large mound, blanketed by our heartiest and most colorful grasses and flowers. Surrounded all the way around by white domhole trees with 40 braziers. That will be kept burning for all eternity.
My goodness, man. Your vision has already exceeded my own. I knew I could entrust this task to you with great success. I will instruct some men to remove my brother from my lodge and bring him to you right away. You have 3 days to do it. After that, I shall honor him further with a celebration that will rival anything anyone in Sirk has ever seen before. I will leave it to you then. I shall take my leave now to go grieve properly elsewhere. Alone. We shall talk soon, my kinsmen.
My best wishes to you and your daughter, O great king.
As Meritan and Asen said their farewells, Isidra and Sabayeo were already tracking the escape route of the assassin, moving northward on horseback to the outer shores of Hafaya. Sabayeo called his mount to a quick stop and raised his fist, beckoning Isidra to do the same. Dismounting and dropping to one knee, he wasted no time in running his hands over the grass, picking a few blades and sniffing at their scent.
He rode to where we now stand. Then,
Sabayeo stood and walked quickly to the beach ahead, scanning the ground, his eyes closed. clearly putting himself in a light trance. Isidra could see no tracks or indication whatsoever of the assassin's existence here, but trusted in what the shaman was himself discovering. Back in his lodge, Mertan sat at his brother's bedside and stroked his blood-matted hair softly, sobbing heavily.
Brother, I make you this vow. Your death will not go unanswered. Of that you have my word. And one day, I will join you in the great lodge above, as we will once again drink our weight and feast at the great tables of Serkia. May she be praised and receive you now with loving and open arms.
Forgive my intrusion, Father, but I have news. Sabeo and I have discovered the identity and the whereabouts of Uncle Skiller. It was none other than Oberon Sharnaya, and we are confident now he has sailed cleanly away from Serk altogether.
That Malgian scum! He and his entire brood can go straight to fucking hell! I will remain here. I have business with Austin. You will ready one of our ships with whatever crew is needed. You yourself, I want to go to Malgia, and you will collect this fucking Oberon Sharnaya and bring him with haste back to Serk. To me! Unharmed and very much alive. I will be the one to teach him the folly of his poor decision-making and the unspeakable outcome to his lust and greed. Is that understood?
It would be my greatest pleasure in life to fulfill this task for you, Father. I will gather who I need and set sail this very day.
As she promised, Isidra and a small crew were upon the great ocean half and sailing rapidly towards Pojakar before the twin suns even slid below the horizon on that day. As she stood proudly upon the very bow of the ship giving orders to her men, she had absolutely no idea that she was sailing toward an unknown destiny that would forever shape the rest of her young life. You've been listening to Kumasan Episode 10, The Assassin's Trail. Kumasan is created, written, and produced by David Paul Seymour. The merry band of players for this week's episode was Susie Bravo as Isidra Calderon, Jason Robbins as King Mertan Calderon, James Dorton as Sabeo, Wally Phelps as Maltos and Austin, Tucker Thomason as Bodyguard 1. Narration by David Paul Seymour. Original music written and performed by Tucker Thomason. Hey friends, join the Karelian community. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at Kumasan Podcast for the latest show info and important updates and announcements. If you've listened to the show up to this point and are becoming a fan of the series, please consider supporting the show for as little as $2 a month. There's other tiers available and rewards grow as the tiers grow. There's some awesome awards just for joining and some that are delivered every month. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you back here next week.